Good morning. This is Carol Ventura, Executive Director of Rhode Island Housing. This is the January 11th, 2024 meeting of the Rhode Island Housing Board of Commissioners. This meeting is being made available telephonically for access by the public. CJ Rotella, the Director of Information Technology for Rhode Island Housing, provide information.
Good morning, this is CJ Rotella. This meeting will be recorded and available for your review on Rhode Island Housing website within 3 to 5 business days after this meeting. Except for specific Rhode Island Housing staff participating in the call, all callers will be muted during the meeting. To prevent any feedback or background noise, we ask telephone participants to please mute your telephone if you are not speaking. If during the meeting anyone is having technical difficulties with the audio or accessing the call, they should call 401-457-1240. Thank you.
Good morning. This is Corinne Myers, General Counsel for RA Housing. Members of the public can visit the RA Housing website to view the agenda and information on each of the actions being taken this morning. In the event the teleconference portion is interrupted, we will stop the meeting until we can connect and audio is restored. For the benefit of those listening in by telephone, I will ask the commissioners and staff members speaking during the meeting to please state their name each and every time prior to speaking. Chairman Pryor will be presiding this morning. And with that, I will invite Chairman Pryor to call the meeting to order.
Good morning. I'm calling the meeting to order at 9:40 a.m. Good morning to everyone. Good to see this selection of folks who are making good progress on these critical issues. I'm going to ask Kyle to take the roll.
Thank you. Before I do that, Chairman, I want to advise the board members that you will receive via email an EPIC certification today after the meeting, and we ask that you fill it out in return as required by the audit and also for our quality control procedure. So, Commissioner Barry?
Here.
Commissioner Orr?
Here.
Commissioner Pryor?
Here.
Commissioner Walmer?
Here.
Commissioner Designee Craven?
Here.
Commissioner Designee Cabral?
Here.
All right. I'm going to start by reviewing the minutes with you. So I'd like to introduce board action number one, approval of the minutes of the board meeting. Would you just take a quick look, make sure that everything is good, and I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Moved. Is there a second?
Seconded, Robert Craven.
Any edits or comments? Hearing none, I'll ask Corey to conduct the voice vote.
Certainly. All those in favor of approving the minutes of the board meeting held on December 21st, 2023, please say aye.
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 Any opposed, say nay. The motion is approved by unanimous vote.
Good morning once again. I want to note in advance of board members, of course, but also for those who are you're going to see we're actually going to conduct 3 meetings today. Bear with us, so we will adjourn, and then, shockingly, we will not go anywhere, and we will reconvene right here. So please bear with us. We have some important items before us, as with every board meeting. I do want to highlight that very pleased that we're moving forward with 2 separate, but in the broadest sense, related subjects. One is studying the feasibility of publicly driven development, i.e. whether there can be a greater role for the public sector, including public housing authorities, in the production and preservation of housing units in our state. And I also want to note that we are aiming to activate a subsidiary of ours, and we'll have more to say about that. So I want to express my gratitude once again to Carol Kanchura and the whole team for getting us to this point on so many issues. And with that, I'm going to turn to board action number 3. I just want to make sure anything else, Corey, that we should be doing given the multiple things happening today. We're good. Moving on to board action 3.
Thank you.
Very good. All right. Board action number 3, firm approval of reservation of low-income housing tax credits, LIHTC, and financing for Central Street Development, which is Central Falls, Pawtucket. And as we frequently do, I'm going to ask Ann Berman to present.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before I start, I just want to introduce Linda Weisinger, who's the Executive Director of Pawtucket Central Falls Development Corporation. She and her staff have done a really great job of bringing this application through preliminary approval to firm approval. We're really excited to see it come to fruition, so kudos to them. So we are seeking firm approval of a reservation of $1,126,600 of low-income housing tax credits, as well as firm approval of a loan in the maximum amount of $3.3 million, a community revitalization grant award, a development of affordable housing to loan, a capital magnet loan, and a middle income loan, as well as approval of rollover debt, which is pretty consistent with the capital stacks we've been looking at recently. As I mentioned, PCFDC is the developer, and this project was part of the many proposals that was received preliminary approval in May. So this is a mixed income and mixed use development. There'll be 62 residential units, 2 commercial units, 30 new units of construction, 32 units of preservation, and then the 2 commercial units, one will be a home ownership center for PCFDC, and then the other one is a tech hub that'll be managed by New England Tech, and it will connect local residents with high-speed internet as well as some technical job training skills. So in total, there'll be 43 LIHTC units, 19 non-LIHTC units for folks in the 80% range. 14 of the units will be set aside for 30% residents with a preference for youth aging out of foster care through a partnership with Foster Forward. I will note that this preliminary approval, PCFDC has secured a LIHTC commitment from NES, as well as a construction loan commitment from TD Bank. Overall, their development costs have increased about 1.4, but 1.3 of that is sort of the addition of the old debt that's being rolled over. So I think that's worth noting that basically overall their costs have pretty much stayed neutral, which is hard to do in this environment. And as part of the rollover debt process, we did determine that they meet all of Rhode Island's requirements for rollover debt, which are outlined in the RFA. So in summary, we're requesting the low-income housing tax credit award, firm approval of a loan in an amount not to exceed $3.3 million, $2 million of CRT, $1,460,000 of the development of affordable housing 2 funds, $250,000 of capital magnet, $1.5 million of the middle income, and the rollover debt of $1,350,000. Happy to answer any questions.
Questions, colleague? I think we answered all of our questions along the way, and that was a very thorough question. So thank you very much, and I too want to thank Linda for all of her work and her team in action and getting so much done. So one more chance for questions. I'll entertain a motion. Do a second. One last chance for any questions or comments. Hearing none, Corey.
All those in favor of the FERC of a reservation of low-income housing tax credits and financing for Central Street development in Central Falls, Pawtucket, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. The motion is approved by unanimous vote.
Okay, on to item 4, firm approval for financing for the Avenue in Providence. Back to Ann.
Thank you. This is Ann Berman, and I'm happy to, she's hiding back there behind Linda, recognize Jen Hawkins, the executive director of One Neighborhood Builders. She and her staff have also done a terrific job of moving this project from preliminary to firm, and I think we've got some early April closings in our eyesight, so that's great. So, this request, a little bit different, this is for firm approval of a tax-exempt loan in an amount not to exceed $15.5 million, of which $3.4 million will remain as permanent debt, as well as approval for a capital magnet fund loan, a DAH2 loan, and a CAR. Our Community Revitalization Program Grant Award. The borrower is also seeking separate approval of an Affordable Housing Trust loan for the preservation component of the proposal. So the development also received preliminary approval in May of 2023. So basically within 7 months, we're getting to firm commitment, which is great. In total, there'll be 85 units, 39 are new construction in a building that will be located on Atwells Avenue near the corner of Knight Street and Federal Hill. And then the remaining 46 units are part of what we call Elmwood Neighborhood Revitalization 2, which is an old LIHTC deal. And as part of the overall refinance, the existing permanent loan for ENR2 will be repaid off, and then there will be some soft debt that is rolled over. Since preliminary approval, the overall total development costs here have increased almost $2 million, primarily attributable to higher interest rates as well as higher construction costs. And so since preliminary, the transaction has changed a little bit. It was originally contemplated there would be 18 units funded as non-LIHTC using middle income. What the developer has determined is that they can still have 80% units, but by using income averaging, they're able to generate significantly more equity. So they are actually returning their middle income, replacing those as LIHTC units. We still have the same income mix. It's for just all LIHTC this time. In addition, they did receive an award from the City of Providence that filled their remaining gap. The project will be financed with tax-exempt bonds, and there will be approximately $13 million of LIHTC equity. NEF is the syndicator with this, which I think is about 90 cents. So we do have units that go from 30% to 80%. And the 30% units receive a variety of operating subsidies through COC, the HPF ELI program, as well as some project-based vouchers that have been associated with the ENR2 units for several years. So in summary, we are requesting the tax-exempt loan of $15.5 million, capital magnet fund loan of $476,000, the DAH2 loan of $3,874,000, and a CRP award of $2 million. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Questions? Kevin, I'd like to make a comment. I've been through a quality developer, and the able to achieve that mixed income while getting more equity in it. I know it can be fun for your management staff doing the mixed income under that tax credit program, but well done. Also, just a question. I know we were looking back in May, I guess, at the construction costs being a bit high, and one of the factors was parking. I'm just curious if the City of Providence has offered any kind of relief in that regard.
Do you want to answer that question?
Sure. We are providing one-for-one parking. The city would have given us relief had we sought it, but we thought that given its location in Federal Hill where parking off-street parking is really concerning, that we wanted to offer that as an amenity for the residents.
Okay. I think the neighbors would appreciate that.
Yeah. Right.
And those comments were provided by Jen Hawkins, one neighborhood builder. Thanks.
And the way the building is situated, some of that parking is covered and some of it is surface.
Sure. Right. No further questions. Anyone else? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved, Robert Craven.
Is there a second?
Second, Marie Day.
Any further questions or comments?
All those in favor of firm financing for the Avenue of Providence, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. The motion is approved on a unanimous basis. Thank you.
All right. On to action item 5, approval of transfer of physical assets for Riverside Village Apartments, Cumberland. Once again, Dan.
Thank you. This is Ann Berman. This is an administrative action required under our general rules for multifamily loan programs. We're seeking approval of the transfer of the limited partnership interest in Riverside Village Apartments, which is located in Cumberland. It's an 88-unit development. It has a long-term HAP contract. The general partner and the management company are both affiliates of Valley Affordable Housing Corporation. This is a tax credit deal where the 15-year compliance period ended in 2022. There is a regulatory agreement that expires 2046. The current manager is Pinnacle Management, also an affiliate of Valley Affordable, so there's no change in management contemplated. No new financing is currently contemplated, although it could be that Valley seeks to refinance this in the future. The development has a REACT score of 91C, so essentially we are seeking approval of the transfer of the limited partnership interest in the development from NEF Assignment Corp to Valley Affordable Housing. Happy to answer any questions.
Questions? Is there a motion?
Support. So moved.
Second. Johnson Walmer.
Moved in second.
Did one more chance for questions or comments. Hearing none, Corey.
All those in favor of approving a transfer of physical assets for Riverside Village Apartments in Cumberland, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. 6 affirmative votes, the motion is approved.
All right, as we move beyond this segment of individual projects, just want to also congratulate Jen Hawkins and all the development teams that have been before us today. All right, on to Board Item 6, Approval of Public Housing Authority Funded Program for Development and Technical Assistance Grants. Mr. James Cole.
Thank you very much. This is for administrative approval of Rural Housing and Nurturing the Public Housing Authority Fund Program. This was designated, you designated the administrator by the state of Rhode Island in May 2023 for a $10 million program that was designed to allow public housing authorities to explore the opportunity to develop, rehabilitate, and create new units on property that they owned or were acquiring. And this is really just administrative approval to ratify our ability to do that. You may ask yourself, did we already approve awards for this program? And in fact, we did in the November meeting. There were three development awards that were made in the amount of about $8.1 million for the Narragansett, Newport, and Pawtucket Housing Authority. We've also made, the committee made awards of $1.6 million for pre-development and technical assistance activities for the house, for a number of housing authorities to do some investigation, do some pre-development work on the feasibility of whether or not they can do more development or reclaim some units that were taken offline a couple of decades ago. This is really just closing an administrative loophole, and what we have done in the interest of getting these SFRF dollars out the door very quickly is move ahead with administering this program, getting applications in, and I'm very happy to say that apart from a few admin dollars, we are more or less entirely committed for those $10 million. So this would just be to have the board ratify those awards and acknowledge that we have been authorized to administer this program.
So, Mr. Collison, thank you for getting to this point. I'll entertain questions. Any questions for James? Well done. Appreciate it very much.
No
motion if you have it.
So moved. Robert Craven.
Is there a second?
Second.
Another chance for questions. Hearing none, Corey, please.
Mm-hmm. All those in favor of approving the Public Housing Authority Fund Program, pre-development and technical assistance grant as presented at this meeting, please say aye. Any opposed, say nay. Only affirmative votes. The motion is approved. Thank you.
Action item 7, this is the selection of firm for feasibility study, NYU Furman Center. This is a subject I touched very briefly upon at the opening, and I'm going to turn this over to Amy Renone.
Thank you, Chairman. This is Amy Renone. This is a request for action to authorize Rhode Island Housing to engage with NYU Furman Center to do a feasibility analysis of various public development ownership models for affordable housing and financing models for affordable housing. You're all very familiar with the severe shortage of affordable housing, all housing here in Rhode Island, and the increasing costs that we're seeing to develop housing. One model that's been discussed at the state level significantly is a public housing developer model. Many folks cite the model being used in Montgomery County, Maryland. This is Rhode Island Housing in partnership with the Department of Housing is very interested in analyzing that model, various models involving public housing development and ownership to identify any aspects that might be appropriate to utilize here in Rhode Island to reduce costs and increase production of affordable housing. To that end, we put out a request for proposals in October of 2023, received three responses from three firms, a evaluation committee involving staff from Rhode Island Housing and the department, evaluated those proposals and unanimously recommended selection of NYU Furman in partnership with Forsyth Street Consulting Firm to do this work at a cost of approximately $85,609. Recommend board approval. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Questions?
Is there also a study being done by Boston Consulting Group? Is that different or connected in any way?
Good question, Maria. I'm not personally aware of any current BCG study. There may be, obviously they have many clients and there could easily be some in the context of Rhode Island, but there was a BCG study on a whole array of housing and homelessness issues. That was an eight-week sprint of a study at the start of our team's work at the housing department. May have touched upon the Montgomery County model among many, but there was no depth whatsoever to it.
Okay, this would be like a deeper dive of something.
Yeah, if there was a dive, I actually can't recall if there was a real dive.
Okay.
in that particular study, it was not the focus whatsoever of what BCG was. Good question. Maybe I'll use that as a point of departure just to say a few things about this. There has been high interest, not just in Rhode Island, but in other parts of the country, in what Montgomery County, Maryland is doing. There are several features of what Montgomery County is doing. The Montgomery County team would do it as a package. I think they can also be disaggregated, these elements, and thought about as separate features. There's a focus on mixed-income development. Not a new idea, but the cross-subsidization that results from market rate units being included is a prominent feature of their philosophy and model. Not to say that we will necessarily learn anything new about mixed income, but you may. So let's take a look. There's the very notion of a public agency or department conducting the development as developer. Given the restrictions federally on PHAs, there's been less emphasis on this in recent years. But Montgomery County has, in some sense, revitalized the conversation. Doesn't mean that conclusions have been drawn and there's a consensus nationally, or consensus to be sure, in Rhode Island. There's also the notion that a public developer can reduce fee use and seek returns that are more modest and can undertake the work in a more efficient manner. Have we, in agreeing to undertake this study, drawing conclusions one way or the other on any of these issues? Absolutely not. The whole idea is to conduct a feasibility study to determine if there's merit to the arguments that these things can be beneficial, that there are features that could be translated to Rhode Island. As Amy touched upon, we're not limiting ourselves to Maryland. We're also going to look at, in consultation with the NYU team, they are going to look at other social housing models, even in the European context, to see if there are lessons to be learned. Once again, conclusions not drawn in advance, but the notion is to determine feasibility, and if there are some features of any of these models that can be imported and adapted, we would welcome it. Obviously, there are market conditions here that are different, the ecosystem that's different from anywhere else. So we want to make sure that we're studying before we are implementing. Having said that, as Amy did touch upon, there's enthusiasm in the General Assembly. Certain advocates and practitioners are highly focused on this, and there has been, you know, national media attention on the Montgomery County model. So it's an exciting opportunity to explore these subjects. Just wanted to add that. Any other questions or comments, they would certainly be welcome. I'll just add this one other point, just to have it in even the public dialogue. Amy, I think it's quite important that there be a significant work product that come out the other end of this project before the end of the legislative session. So in the April kind of time frame. So I just want to say out loud, do you know conversations thus far with the, I know the vendor hasn't been formally selected, but.
That's it, that conversation with the vendor. Right now the structure is for a 6 month engagement with the ability to extend for another 6 months if we needed to, but we would have to have that conversation with the consultants once we onboarded them in terms right. of the timing.
Just want to share with colleagues that this is something that I would encourage our teams, Rhode Island Housing and Housing Department, to ask for, not necessarily, and in fact, not a final report, but a significant work product that the General Assembly can see because of the high interest in the kind of April timeframe. Any kind of questions about that or about anything about the methodology or anything else? All right.
This year, April, or next year?
Oh, this year. This year. Good.
Okay. Yeah. That's yeah. quick. I mean, that's good, but... Yeah. Sounds like that's not the time for it yet. So, yeah.
Not the final report.
Yeah. But
significant report part.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Anything else for anybody? All right. Well, entertain a motion.
So moved. Jonathan Wolmer.
So second.
Second, Marie Barry.
To you, Corey.
All those in favor of approving the selection of a firm for feasibility study, namely the NYU Furman Center, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. The motion is approved by unanimous.
Board action C, approval of engagement of Rhode Island Coalition to End Homelessness for Youth Homelessness Demonstration Program Planning. And for this, Elizabeth Fioto, please.
Thank you. This is Elizabeth Fioto. So this is a request for action to engage the Coalition to End Homelessness to conduct planning activities associated with the COC's Youth Homelessness Demonstration Program. Rhode Island Housing continues to serve as a collaborative applicant to the Rhode Island Continuum of Care, so we are the sole recipient of planning funds from HUD. And in 2021, we were delighted to receive a Youth Homelessness Demonstration Program Award. It was a two-year initial award that allowed us to conduct strategic planning and then select projects and then implement projects to end youth homelessness here in Rhode Island. So we're happy to be at the culmination of that award period and now seeking to continue to fund planning activities through the continuum of care. So the primary objectives of youth homelessness planning are to implement the strategic plan that we wrote over the last 2 years, to oversee the Youth Action Board, which is a group of 8 young adults who have lived experience of homelessness and who are decision makers in the strategic planning around the projects that we are creating in the state, and to oversee project operations, monitoring, compliance. So towards those goals, we issued an RFP in September of 2023. We received 3 proposals in response. We convened a committee of executive division staff to review those proposals and are recommending the Coalition to End Homelessness for a 1-year contract totaling $94,282. Happy to answer any additional questions that you might have.
Questions?
Question, Jonathan Wolmer. Do we have access to that strategic plan?
Absolutely, yeah. I'm sure you have it.
Okay. Somebody's going to tell me where I can find it.
Oh, it's on our website. I'm sure that you get it delivered to you. Yeah.
I have a question from Kevin Hort. This looks like a very worthwhile activity, but just from a broader perspective, could you remind me what share of the overall Continuum of Care Awards Rhode Island Housing acts as the collaborative applicant for?
Sure. So we have 2 roles in the Continuum of Care. Our collaborative applicant role really means we're the lead agency overseeing the entire portfolio, not that the money all passes through our agency, but that we're in charge of compliance, strategic planning for the portfolio. And that's $14 million about annually. And we've doubled it actually over about the last 5 years, which has been really exciting. The other role we have in the continuum of care is we are a direct recipient of some funds to support permanent supportive housing throughout the state. We receive about $4 million annually in that, and those are in projects primarily within the private rental market, delivering rental assistance and services.
And so what percentage is that of the overall amount of funding coming to us?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not the best at math, but it's about a third of the portfolio that we oversee directly in terms of housing programs. We also get a planning grant, which is the grant that will fund this specific activity that's tied to the portfolio amount. So we get 3% of our annual portfolio. So as we've increased our portfolio, we've increased our ability to plan. So this contract will be funded out of that specific project.
For what we had been putting in motion
years ago. It's done a great job in expanding grants. I mean, the entire continuum has done a great job, and under Elizabeth's leadership has really grown membership and diversity among membership, which is so important for any continuum.
Yeah. Okay. Any other questions? Hearing none, is there a motion?
So moved, Robert Craven.
And a second?
I'll second, Kevin Orr.
Moved and seconded, one more chance for questions. Hearing none, Corey, please the vote.
Mm-hmm. All those in favor of approving the engagement of the Rhode Island Coalition to End Homelessness for the Youth Homelessness Demonstration Program planning activities, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. 6 affirmative votes. The motion is approved.
All right. I think we're ready to adjourn this particular meeting. Carol and Corey, are you ready?
Yes.
All right. Members of the public, this is the surprising part. We're going to adjourn and go nowhere. So, feel free to cite your own. Okay. Is there a motion that we adjourn?
To move, Jonathan Woolmer.
Second. Any discussion on adjourning in this peculiar manner? Hearing none, we're going to take the vote.
All those in favor of adjourning this meeting, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. The meeting is adjourned.
Okay.
Thank you.